Listen to the Word of God. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Well, we've looked at those blessings, those benefits of justification, adoption, and sanctification, these things that God has done for us, these objective things that He's done. And as we consider the teaching from the Shorter Catechism, we come to question and answer 36. And that question is, what are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification? And the answer is, the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are, and here are the five things we're going to look at today: assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end. Why would they include these five separately from the other three? I think that the general categorization that we can make here is that these are the more subjective benefits. Justification, adoption, sanctification, those are objective things that God has done for us. These are the more subjective things, the things that we are to feel, these benefits and blessings from God. And I would ask you this question: do you always feel a sense of peace as a Christian? Do you always feel a sense of joy, a sense that you're growing in grace and that you are persevering? The answer to those things is no, we don't always feel those things as fully as we should. But they are blessings that God gives to us. And God wants you to enjoy those blessings in life. And if we're to enjoy those blessings, we need, by God's grace, to walk with Him. So these are the more subjective blessings, at least generally speaking. And we need to enjoy them by pursuing our walk with God. These are the things that accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification. And how do you receive something that flows from something else? Well, you can imagine it being sort of like standing in a creek bed or in a river. If you're standing in the path of what flows from justification, adoption, and sanctification, you will experience the benefits. So we're called to serve and obey God in order to receive these blessings. Well, what are they? First of all, assurance of God's love. We have that here in Romans 5, verse 1. We see that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, and God wants us to be assured of our salvation. It is possible to know that you're saved, but it's not of the essence of salvation. In other words, you may not feel like you're saved, or you may feel like you've done something bad enough for God not to love you, and yet God may still in fact love you. Conversely, it's possible to feel like you're saved and yet not be. So what are we to make sense of all of this? Well, we know that our feelings cannot be our guide. We know that our feelings cannot be our guide. The Word of God must be our guide. And as we walk with Him and we seek Him in His Word, the feelings of assurance will grow appropriately. Now, this may be especially a concern for you young people. It often is for young people. How can I know that I know God? Well, the Apostle John writes in 1 John 5:13 that he has written what he's written so that you might know that you have eternal life. What's written in the Scriptures is given so that you might know that you have eternal life, so that you can experience it as you walk with God. And it's as we walk with God, as we trust Him, as we look to Christ, as we obey His Word, that we grow in that sense of assurance. No one can look at you and say, you should simply know that you're saved. Rather, what are we to do? We're to walk with God. And as we do, we experience more and more of the benefits of salvation. And we know more and more that we do belong to God. Well, if we lack assurance, one of the places we can go to is the Psalms. David, in Psalm 51, in a very real sense, lacked assurance of salvation, didn't he? He was one who's just guilty of committing murder and adultery. And one of his greatest concerns is that the Spirit of God would be taken from him. And as he went to the Lord, and the Lord took those words that David went to him with, and he put them in Scripture so that we would be able to use them as well. Whenever we're in sin, we find assurance by going to God, by seeking forgiveness for our sins, which God promises. So one of these blessings is the assurance of God's love. It's not of the essence of salvation. You don't have to have assurance in order to be saved. But if you know God, that assurance will grow over time. The second thing God wants us to have as his people is peace of conscience. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we see that having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The battle has been won by Jesus. If we trust him to take away our sins, that that sacrifice of eternal value, our Lord Jesus, taking away the eternal punishment due our sins, we have life and we should have peace before God. But we're like soldiers, aren't we? Soldiers who have come back from a war. And perhaps the war has been won. And there is true and legitimate objective peace. Nevertheless, what is it that soldiers often struggle with? Well, it's nightmares of the war coming back. They'll wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, fearing that they're still in the middle of the battle. And as believers, we often experience the same sort of thing, right? We're haunted by our old life, and we're haunted by those accusations of the devil that we do not have peace with God. Well, what is it we're to do if we're to experience more and more this peace? Well, if we look at Romans 9:14, we see that one of the things we can do is we can remember the work of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do when we are not experiencing peace. When we're not experiencing peace, remember the work of Jesus. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How can you have peace of conscience? Remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, whose blood offered through the eternal Spirit without spot to God cleanses your conscience. The work has been done. The peace treaty has been signed, and it's over. The war, that is over. What else can we do? We can engage in prayer. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25 say, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." How are we going to know that we have a clean conscience? Well, we're invited to go to the Lord in prayer through Jesus Christ. And that's how we're reassured. That's how peace comes. We see that prayer is also reinforced to us as a means of us attaining this peace through Philippians 4, 6, and 7, where we're told, "Be anxious for nothing." And you have anxious thoughts, don't you? I have anxious thoughts. What are we to do in the midst of those anxious thoughts? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we want to have peace of conscience, we need to go to the Lord in prayer, and we need to remember the work of Jesus Christ. And the third thing we can do that helps to bring peace of conscience as we experience it is enjoy fellowship with other believers. As we enjoy fellowship with other believers, we grow in our sense of peace of conscience. And in Hebrews 10, verse 22, we're told, we can approach the Lord because our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then the next verses go on to say, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." How do we partake of that peace, that cleansing of the conscience? Well, we're reminded of it as we gather together as the people of God. So how do you need to grow in peace? Well, you grow in peace by remembering what Jesus has done, that the battle is over, by speaking to the one who is Lord over all in prayer and by engaging in fellowship with others who've experienced that same kind of peace. If you have nightmares about the battle that's over, what's one of the best things that you can do? Well, it's to gather with others who reassure you and remind you that the battle is in fact over. In other words, gather at the parade where the heroes are welcomed home. It's a reminder that the battle is in fact over. Well, what's a third experiential blessing, benefit that we enjoy when we know God in the person of Jesus Christ? It's joy in the Holy Spirit. Paul expresses great joy in many of his letters. He expresses great joy, and we can as well. We're to delight in those things that are good and right. And the rest of the world can't know this kind of joy, but we can in Jesus Christ. How do we grow in joy? How do we experience that blessing more and more? Well, the Scripture is full of ideas, full of examples as to how we can grow in joy. The first of these is by seeking the face of God. Are you lacking joy? I go through ups and downs, and I'm sure that you do too, in your spiritual walk. There are times when we're just down, and we're depressed, and often it's because of our sin. How is it that we regain joy? Well, David did by confessing his sins in Psalm 51. He pleaded, "Take not the joy of your spirit from me." And the Lord was pleased to restore that joy to him. We seek his face in Psalm 16 when we sing, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." Seek the face of God because it's in him that real joy exists. Well, we're also to seek joy by celebrating righteousness. Psalm 132 says, "Let your priests be clothed with righteousness." That can only come through justification, right? We are reminded of these other objective blessings, and as we remember those, we grow in joy. Let your priests be clothed with salvation, Psalm 132 says, and let your saints shout for joy. Sin has been forgiven, and when we remember that more and more and more, we have greater joy because we remember that from which we've been delivered. Well, here are some other things, a random collection of ways in which we can enjoy a greater joy in life. Proverbs 12, verse 20 says, "Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy." You can have greater joy by counseling peace. Children, you see this in life, don't you? When you stir up trouble among your brothers and sisters and among your friends, there is inevitably less joy. It always ends in fighting, doesn't it? But when you counsel peace, when you help be a peacemaker, true joy comes. And adults may not cause the same trouble among one another in such egregious or obvious ways, but adults can stir up trouble through gossip and so forth, can't they? Instead, we need to be a people who are counseling peace to one another, being peacemakers in the world, and that brings joy. Another way in which we experience more joy day by day is by raising children in wisdom. The Proverbs say that the father of a fool has no joy. And John writes, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." If you don't raise your children wisely, you'll experience great grief. But if you teach them to walk in the ways of the Lord, there will be no greater joy on the face of the earth. That takes discipline on a day-to-day basis, doesn't it? But it does cultivate joy. What else brings joy? How about faithfully executing the duties of life for the Lord? What do we look forward to at the last great day? We look forward to the Master saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." We experience joy by simply doing those little things that God has called us to do. Often depressed people find the most basic things the most difficult to do. We have stacks of laundry, we have piles of mail, and all of these things to go through. Depressed people often find it very difficult to simply come up with the energy to do those basic functions of life. And when we don't do them, what happens? Well, more mail comes and the pile gets added to and the bills grow larger and the laundry pile grows larger, and that leads to what? Further depression, less joy. By faithfully executing the daily tasks at hand, even when we don't feel like it, God brings greater joy. Well, what else brings joy? proclaiming the good news brings great joy. We're told multiple times through Acts that there was great joy when the apostles declared the word of God. We're told that it's not just proclaiming the good news that brings joy, but hearing accounts of good news proclaimed bring joy. Hearing accounts of good news, hearing others tell about their experiences in relating the gospel brings joy. And if you've been part of these things, either the listening or the telling, you know that it is a very exciting thing. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus said, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." There's joy in heaven when someone repents. The angels get to tell about it, and it's a joyful thing. And we're told in Acts 15 that this is Paul and his companions that being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and it caused great joy to the brethren. These Christian Jews were excited to hear about Gentiles who had come to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, there are many other ways in which we experience joy in our lives, but those are some of the ways. Those are just a handful of scriptural ideas, ways to grow in joy. And those last ones are ones that are certainly true for me. When I become discouraged, one of the questions I ask myself, usually after several days of being discouraged or a bit down, I'll ask myself the question, James, when was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? And usually when I'm down like that and I ask myself the question, I realize it's been longer than it should have been. Because there's great joy that comes in relating the gospel and hearing about others who have related the gospel. So we can experience great joy by being part of the proclamation of good news. Well, a fourth blessing that's mentioned here is increase of grace. This is a blessing that we as the people of God are to experience in this life. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:18, this is the very end of his epistle, he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever." Now, if someone tells you to grow, how are you supposed to do that? If you are a plant and I tell you to grow, how are you supposed to do that? Well, the reality of the matter is you can't, can you? On your own. But you can do things that will bring growth in your life. You can gather nutrients. You can seek sunlight and so on and so forth. God has to be the one ultimately to bring the growth. But we are commanded to grow at the same time, to grow in grace. How are you going to grow in grace? Well, we often talk about the means of grace, being reading or hearing the Word of God, being involved in prayer, seeking God's face that way, being involved in the communion of the saints, partaking of the Lord's Supper and the implications of that in terms of fellowship. God wants you to be growing in grace day by day. And as you stand in the stream of the blessings of justification, adoption, and sanctification, you will grow in that grace. It's not, however, an automatic thing. It's not something that simply happens by itself as you sit in your easy chair. You grow in grace as you seek God and the things of God. Well, the fifth blessing that we are to experience in this life is perseverance in grace to the end. We know that all those who belong to Jesus have received eternal life from him. They shall never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of his hand. So we know that we're secure in Jesus Christ, but we are called to persevere. And the blessing is we will have the opportunity to persevere. We won't be lost. We'll be given the opportunity to work. Now we need to be clear, this is not the perseverance of sinners. It's the perseverance of the saints. It's not that we just get to do whatever we want in this life and engage in sin and we'll get rescued out of it all at the end. No, the promise is this. God will give grace so that we can persevere on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis through all of our days. Again, these things don't come to us in an automatic way, but they come as the believer makes his calling and election sure. God does justify, he adopts, and he sanctifies. Those things are his work. But we're called as his people to make that calling and election sure. And as we do that, you see, then we begin to experience day by day more and more of the blessings of knowing God. This is the God who always gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. And the comfort we have is this, that while you may not experience all of these blessings in full at every stage through the course of life, and you may even for a time feel as though you're going backwards, nevertheless, the blessing is this, that the God who has called you is good, and you can know that every true believer will find these blessings in time, because the grip of Jesus Christ is just that sure. Well, these are the blessings that you, brothers and sisters, are to enjoy. And I would encourage you to seek them as you seek God day by day. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these benefits, these blessings of salvation. We thank you that you haven't simply saved us from sin and left us in this world. And Lord, you know that we are often discouraged, we're downtrodden, we often don't experience these benefits the way we should. And so, Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, you would be gracious to us. And that you would cause us to grow in assurance of salvation as we seek your word and as we seek to live in accord with that word. We pray, Lord, that you would give us greater peace and greater joy, that you would cause us to abound in grace, that we would grow more and more. And finally, Lord, we pray that you would give us grace to persevere to the end. And would you give us a great delight in doing that? Lord, we thank you for your great love for us, and we pray now that you'll help us to be faithful as we seek to serve you. And Lord, we pray for each one in this congregation that you would allow us more and more to partake of those benefits for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.